serving out on the lake and having a good time, and we caught a lot of fish, but man, it was cold and windy and rainy, and I'm feeling it this morning, so bear with me if you don't mind. If you open your Bibles or keep your Bibles there to Luke 1, we're going to be taking on primarily Luke's or Zechariah's prophecy that Brother Ken just read. And if you remember, we started last week a little short series bringing us to our Christmas celebration. And I said we're going to look at four prophecies or songs that we see in the Scriptures that are dealing with the birth of Christ. Last Sunday, if you remember, we looked at Mary's song of hope and joy. It was a song that Mary was expressing her hope and her joy because the realization of God fulfilling His promises were upon her, and that she was going to be used by God to fulfill those promises. And we talked about the challenges that might have come her way, right? Like this young girl who had probably most of her life planned out was now, everything was turned upside down. She didn't know what was going to happen. She, all of a sudden, she's with child that was obviously was not the normal way. She was betrothed to a man that she was supposed to marry. And now everything is up in the air. And her response, though, was to praise God, because even in the midst of that challenge to her, God was going to fulfill His promises. And it was a song also of praise because of the character that Mary saw in God. His faithfulness, His power, His strength, His ability to do what He said He was going to do. And those are all things that we need to hold on to. As we go through our life in this world, seeking to be faithful to God, we will only do it so much as we're resting on the character of God. That we truly know that God is good. That we truly know that God is faithful to do exactly what He said He was going to do. And we truly know that God is able to do exactly what He said He would do. If we fail any of those, we're gonna trip up. And that's a hope and a praise and a joy that is only found in those characters that only God has in perfection. Because I'm not that strong, you're not that strong. I'm not that faithful, you're not that faithful. I'm not that good, you're not that good. But God is. Now on this second Sunday, we're going to look at Zechariah's a song of praise that we just read. But I need to do a little background. And really, we're going to look at this context, this situation leading up to this song of praise from Zechariah. And for a couple of things we have to ask. Most of you guys already know, but some of you might not. Who is Zechariah, right? People, it's kind of important to know who we're talking about here. Well, he is the father of John the Baptist. Okay? You guys know John the Baptist. He's the one that's heralded to go before the Lord to give the praise and the proclamation that the king was coming and that the king had arrived. And Zechariah was John the Baptist's father. And he was a priest. He was a descendant of Aaron. And he was a priest that had devoted his life, that his whole life's calling was to serve the Lord. And Zechariah's story, I think, is something that gets, if you will, ignored a lot. We don't focus a lot on Zechariah's story because it's just short. It's just at the beginning of Luke. But I think if we look at his story here today and we look at this song that he has or this prophecy that he has, we're going to see some things. And I've kind of marked out seven key areas of the not only the Christian life, but the Christian church, on how we should intentionally work on things that we need to work on us and things we need to work on together as a church. As we look at this life and this praise of Zechariah, I think we see some things that can help us, but also challenge us, challenge our very lives, Because here's the thing. Our lives matter. Your life matters. Your testimony matters. The testimony of this church matters. And the message that we carry matters. Because the message that we carry is Christ. I often say, you guys know I do a lot of funerals. The local funeral home calls me whenever they have a family that doesn't have a pastor to serve. And it's one of those love-hate things. I love to do it because I love to serve people, but I hate doing funerals. But you go and you try to serve and you try to help. But there's something I tell people at the very beginning when I sit down with the family. I always try to go visit with the family and sit down with them in a living room or whatever and talk about, because I want to get to know their loved one. Because usually I have no connection with them at all. And one of the things that I always say every time, just so they know who I am and where I'm coming from, is I always say I have but one thing of value to give, and that's Jesus. That's it. It's the only thing I have to give that is of any value, that brings of any hope, of anything. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek to honor you and to honor your loved one, but I want to give you Jesus. And if you don't want that, well, then I'm not the guy that you want to serve your family. And I'll find you somebody, but I'm not that. And I think that's something that you and I need to remember. That the only thing of any value that you and I have to give is what we know of Christ. Because He is the only thing that's of any eternal true value. And so when we think about these things here that I'm going to go through, and we look just quickly at the life of Zechariah and this song of praise, I want to point out some things that I think will help us live that out there, where we know and we live to carry out in the world the only thing of any true value, and that's Christ. So pray with me, and then we're gonna look at that. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use me today. Lord, would you give me the right words? Would you make your words real in us? Or would you remind us again, as the song we just sang, that as we preach and as we hear, we are to be seeking Christ. Lord, would you inspire us as a church to look beyond the things that are going on in the world, but to look at the great hope that we have, and to be serious about our walk with your Son. Lord, I pray that what I prepare today is not tainted by my own failure and my flesh, but as a worthy representation of your word and what you'd have me bring to your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, we get the beginning of the story of John the Baptist and his father. If you look there, it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the divisions of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." I want you to see there's something. Zechariah and Elizabeth were intentional. It's obvious about the stature that they had, the service that they did. They were intentional about looking to God and waiting to know His will. Because here's Zechariah being a faithful priest, right? And his wife is serving her husband. They are known. Look how they're described. They were both righteous before God in verse 6. In the midst of the challenge that they had, here they are. They have no children, which, by the way, in that world was totally unlike the world today. If you did not have children, you were looked down upon. If you didn't have children, you didn't have anybody to take care of you when you got older. If you didn't have children, you were often considered smitten by God. And so they're in this culture where they don't have anything, but yet they still take God seriously. They still want to honor God. Here's the first step that I think we can learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth, is that we need to learn to take God seriously. I was watching a video that was talking about this phenomenon that we're seeing right now, where young men are leaving the Protestant church in droves and going to the Eastern Orthodox church. And I was watching this thing and doing some reading about it. And one of the consistent things that, that was being said by these young men, and sometimes, you know, I'll take stuff with a grain of salt from young men, but one of the things was they go to the Eastern Orthodox Church with all the different things that are there, with all the way the service is done and the way everything is done. There's an air of seriousness. Like, it's not flippant. That they take God serious in their church service and the way they do stuff. And that it looks like there's something tangible there. And one of the issues in the evangelical world and in the greater Protestant world is there's this apparent, this view that God is, we're not taking God serious. That we turn church into a show, into a concert, and lights, and all this other stuff, and all the trappings. And we just kind of go through the motions where people are just sitting there and they're experiencing something before them, but it doesn't really involve them. And it's not much different than if they went to some concert at the Belton Expo Center. And there's something that's happened, I think, in the Protestant world, and it is certainly the fault of pastors, but it's also the fault of all of us, is we don't take God seriously. Zechariah took God seriously. He devoted his life to They were known. Even these people who did not have what everybody would expect them to have if they were good. They didn't have kids. They were known for being righteous. They were known for standing upon the word of the Lord. They were taking God serious. And I think we as individuals, we need to work on that. This is not a game that we do. This is not just, this is not an hour and a half of entertainment. Our small groups are not meant to be just parties. This is us coming together to take God seriously, to learn about God, to praise His name. This is why, by the way, we try to do lots of different things here as we gather. I'm far more pro liturgy, structured worship than anybody. That's why I add things in here. That's why we do scripture readings together. That's why we pray a lot. That's why we do all these different things, because we need to take it seriously. Lest we lose out on our ability to speak into the lives of people who need to hear about Christ. So that's the first thing that I think we can learn. We need to take God seriously. Look at now verses 8 through 10. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. The second step that we see in Zechariah is that we need to be intentional about serving the Lord. Zechariah was faithful in his pursuit of God in service to God. Serving for the glory of God leads us actually to a closer relationship with God. And I'm not just saying serving in the church. Certainly, trust me, if you're sitting here going, is there a place for me to serve? Yes, there's a place for you to serve here. We have needs upon needs. And I look, I'm also one, like, if you know of something that we should do here, that would be a benefit, that's a glory to God, that's a service to others, and you want to do it, come talk to me. Because I'm about it. Let's do it. Just be ready to lead it. Just be ready to lead it. But even beyond the church, outside, all your service, but if we are not intentionally living our lives to serve the Lord through being used by Him for the cause of the gospel, then we've missed our vocation. You know, that's part of the gospel call. So Adam and Eve were created to care for God's creation. They had a vocation. They had a job. They had a purpose. It was what they were created for. A sin. In their sin, all that was what? Destroyed and brought down. They were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of the place that they were to serve the Lord. They lost their vocation. They lost their purpose. And so no doubt, right? When somebody loses their purpose, what happens? They wander aimlessly. And nothing good comes out of it. And this is what's happened in the world. Humanity running around the world that has lost its purpose, lost its vocation. But Christ comes to restore our humanity. That's the purpose, right? That in Christ we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Meaning the humanity of Christ. We're not being transformed into His divinity. We're being transformed into His humanity. And along with that humanity comes the true vocation. And what is now the vocation? Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. If we are not actively saying, I am going to be involved with proclaiming the light of Christ, and I'm going to find any sort of way, whether it's doing Meals on Wheels like Jeff does, or doing a fishing ministry like Ned does, or just going and speaking with your neighbors, or whatever it might be. There's endless opportunities to devote your life to service for the gospel, to the glory of God. If you're not doing that, guess what? You're wandering aimlessly because you're not doing what you're created to do in Christ. That's your vocation. That's your true purpose. Ministry is not a professional thing. Ministry is not for the missionaries who take it upon, like JL, and to go to Papua New Guinea. Praise the Lord for people like her, excuse me, who devote their lives to go to far reaches of the world to take the gospel. We need them. Ministry is not just for guys who have been called into pastoral ministry to serve a church. Ministry is for everybody. Everybody is to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're a soldier here today, you're to be a ministering soldier. If you're a mechanic, you should be a gospel-carrying ministry mechanic. If you're retired, you got lots of time to do it. If we're not devoting our lives to service, if that's not an active part of our life, then we're actually missing out on our true vocation. This is what we've been created in Christ Jesus for. What Paul says, right? That we are not saved by works, but saved by grace through faith, not of works so that none should boast. But nevertheless, what? We were saved for good works. And what good works that God has prepared that we walk in. That's our vocation, is to serve the Lord. So we see we need to take God seriously, and we need to serve the Lord, whether it's in the church or outside. There's no limits in the ways that you can be used to bring glory to God, to carry the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Next, look at verses 11 through 17. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many from the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Third step is we better make prayer a daily part of our lives, individually, but also as a church. When does the angel come to Zechariah? When he's praying. And what is the message the angel says? Your prayers have been heard. God responds to prayer. God works in us through prayer. It's amazing to me, and look, I am certainly not pointing fingers, because every one of us struggles with this. We all struggle to have the prayer life that we know we should have, don't we? It's something that's challenging. I think it's challenging because it's so darn important. Without prayer, there's a disconnect. If we are not speaking and taking our praises, our joys, but also our needs and our concerns for us and for each other to God, then there's a disconnect. Because for whatever reason it is, I do not pretend to know perfectly the mind of God. But for whatever reason it is, this is the way he has said he will work. And he comes to Zechariah in the midst of it, and he says, "Your prayers have been heard." Obviously, they have been praying for a child. Even in their old age, they've been praying for a child. Or maybe they stopped praying for a child. It seems that Zechariah's surprise here, as we'll get next, that this has come. He doesn't even believe it. So maybe they had been praying and they stopped praying. But now God comes with a message from his angel to say, "Your prayer was heard." If Zechariah hadn't taken the prayer, it would not have been heard. Friends, prayer needs to be a far greater part of our lives. We need to be intentional as individuals and as a church to pray. And we also need to be faithful in the midst when it doesn't look like our prayer has been answered. We still can have the confidence to know that our prayer has been heard. And we have a confidence, as Mary knew, that God's timing is perfect. Remember, there was hundreds of years from the time the last prophet spoke until the prophet spoke again of the coming of the Lord. For years, people had been praying and hoping for the Messiah, but it was silent. But God was still faithful. But God uses our prayers both to draw us closer to Him. I think as we pray, as we openly and honestly pray before God, it's a reminder to us on how dependent we are on Him. But it's also a reminder that God hears us. He listens to us. And God desires to give good things to His children in response to their prayers. So we need to be a people of prayer, devoted to prayer, praying without ceasing. Doesn't mean we're walking around like this all day. I think some people drive like that. Right? Devoted to prayer. So take God seriously. Serve the Lord, and making prayer a daily part of our lives. Now here's where it kind of gets rough for old Zechariah. Look at verse 18. We're going to look at 18 through 22. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced." And you notice he doesn't say, "My wife's an old woman." Take a lesson from Zechariah, guys. She's advanced in years. She's mature. I'm an old man. She's just got a few years on her. "My wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until that day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their name." And the prophets were waiting, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he had came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he had kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Fourth step is we better believe God. This caused a little bit problem for Zechariah. He doubted God. And God shut his mouth. God gave him a reason to move his confidence beyond lip service. God came to him and said, "We're going to do the miraculous. We're going to do way more than you could ever think we're going to do. You, Zechariah, old, with your wife who's advanced in years, I'm going to give you a kid." That doesn't make any sense. Everybody knows that doesn't make any sense. And Zechariah says, "That doesn't make any sense." And what happened? It doesn't change God's fulfillment of the promise, but boy, it affects Zechariah. He shuts his mouth. We need to believe God's word. When God says it, He will do it. Here's the thing. I think this is not a build it and they will come type thing. But I truly believe if the promise of the scripture is that we have a vocation, right? To take the message to a lost and dying world outside. First, we start right here in the greater Fort Cavazos area, right? And we carry it out. And we have been given a commission to take that message to the world, to see it change lives. And I believe that if we take God seriously and take His service seriously and take prayer seriously and believe that He says He will do miraculous things through us, which means bringing life to dead people, I believe we can trust that. And I believe our little church, I believe you and me and our individual lives and our little church can make an impact on this community that is far beyond anything we could ever imagine, because God can do the miraculous. But if we don't believe Him, guess what He'll do? He'll shut our lips. If it's just lip service, where we can sit in here and say, yeah, I believe God. I believe that if I seek to follow God and be faithful to God, that He will use me outside these doors. I believe it. But then you go outside and you're like, no, I really don't believe it, because I'm not going to really move out. I doubt this. He's going to shut our lips. That's what happened to Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah, I'm going to teach you something. You doubt? You doubt my ability to do what I said I'm going to do? Just shut your lip. I think this is about being more than lip service in our walk with God. Here's the thing. You guys, just about every one of you have no idea how much influence you have. How much ability... Where God has placed you in your life. You don't have to go and do. You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea. You don't have to preach in front of thousands. We often think, when we look at how God has used people to build His kingdom, we often think that he only uses these lofty names, right? We all have these names that we think of throughout the history of the church, that they did miraculous, they did huge things. They were used by God to bring thousands of people to faith. They filled stadiums. They did all these different things. They go to far off countries and whole nations are brought to Christ. And we think, man, those are the people that God uses. But here's the truth about the matter. You know who God uses more often than not? Just the regular person. Who within two generations of their life, their voice, their name will not be even remembered. Everyday people. The mom who might stay at home, loving her kids, cherishing her kids, teaching the gospel to her kids, loving her husband. The mom who has to work and is in the midst of all the challenges that might be, in the midst of being a single mom who's trying to work and take care of her kids but has a hope and a praise that people see. Everyday people. That's who God uses. The gospel has been carried on the backs of everyday people. Just normal people like you and me. You can be used by God to do miraculous things, to proclaim the excellencies of the one who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light, and be used by Him to see others come out of the darkness of the world and into His light as well. But if we doubt that God can actually use me, well, our lips will be silent. Are we going to believe God? Are we going to believe God? All right, moving on. 23 through 25. So that when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when He looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. This is Elizabeth's turn to shine. She became pregnant in her advanced years, not the old, advanced years. She becomes pregnant. And what's her response? To praise God. She didn't get the prophecy. Zechariah couldn't tell her. All she knows is he's in advanced years. She got a baby. And what's her first response? To praise God. To praise God. She acknowledged the miracle that was taking place in her life. Now you guys might sit here today and go, yeah, but there's no miracle taking place in my life. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Who sits here today right now knowing that they have been given life in Christ Jesus? That's a miracle. It's a miracle. That once I was dead, and now I'm alive. We're like the man that Jesus came and healed his sight. And they said, what did he do? He says, I don't know. All I know this is once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was blind, and once you were blind, but now we can see. We should give praise to God every day for that. If that's the only blessing I ever got from God, that ought to be enough. That he has given me life in his Son. And I should praise him every day for that alone. Elizabeth goes through a life of long and a life of reproach amongst others. And God, late in her life, blesses her. And what's her response? To go, well, about time, God. Could have done this in my 20s. No. It's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's the thing. Your praise, your joy, your thankfulness, when you take it outside these doors, it's infectious. We have a world around us that has no hope. We have people right now that are living with no reason in their minds to get up tomorrow. And your praise, your joy, and your thanksgiving can be infectious. You have something that people in the world do not have. You have a hope that is beyond anything that this world can give. And I know people sit there and claim that they don't want it, but they do. Because it's what we're created for. Take your praise outside these doors. Don't just limit them in here. Don't leave them in here. Take them out there. Be different. Be glad. I smile. I was going through the checkout at HEB one time. And it was a busy day, and I wanted to be Grumpy Gus, right? I did. But I decided, no, I was going to be nice. I was going to be easy, right? And when we went through, I just looked at the cashier, and I said, hey, I appreciate you. And she smiled from ear to ear. That's all I said. Didn't have a long conversation. Just said, hey, I appreciate you. She smiled from ear to ear. The joy was infectious. Be joyous. Be thankful. I done ran out of time, so jump over. You guys are going to be late to lunch. You won't beat the Baptist. Sorry. We're going to go to verse 57 through 66 with me. So now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the night that they, not on, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a written tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. and all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord is with him. God comes through. God is faithful to do exactly what he does. And when God does exactly what he does and he loosens the lips of Zechariah, what's the first thing he does? He praises God. And what is the result? His praise results in others going, something's going on here. The hand of the Lord is upon this child. Something is different. Something special is happening. Look, when God comes through for you, the first thing you need to do is praise. And not just in your closet. That's for your prayers. But when you praise God, you do it before the world. And some are going to think you're nuts. But some are going to walk away going, the Lord is doing something there. The Lord is at work. Boy, if we could be a people of praise like that. Every little blessing that we have, we should shout it from the rooftop. God, let God be praised. All right, I'm getting the... Move along, Scott. Ned, Glenn's saying, you're going too long. This should have been three sermons. Now we finally get to the song. Let's read it. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Zechariah's song is like an Old Testament psalm, praising God. Zechariah is now, he's looking, he's prophesying, he's looking at his life and these challenges. And he understands now that God's timing is perfect, that God's plan is perfect. And now he's given joy and praise to God because his son is going to be one that's going to go forth and prepare the way of the Lord. To be used to call people out of darkness. He understood first that without God's kindness, he'd be the victim of a childless situation. He would never have a kid. He would never have a son. But he also knew more, that God's promises were even more than just to bless him, but God was blessing others through him. That the blessing that God gave him in his son was not just for him and Elizabeth, but the blessing that God was giving him was going to be used to prepare the way of the Lord, to bless others. And I think this is something we need to remember. The blessings that God blesses us with are wonderful, and we should enjoy them. We should give praise to them. We should gather them in. But let us not forget that the blessings that God gives us are also meant so that we can bless others, so that we can be a use to others. If they weren't faithful then to follow that and to raise up John the Baptist to do what he is going to do, what would have happened? I don't know. But they understood there in his prophecy, they understood that the blessing that they're going to have, finally to have a son, was more than just about them. And every blessing you have is more than just about you. It's to be used to bless others as well. Little things. Little things. Again, it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. Little things. When you know that you're blessed, I think we should intentionally turn to seek, how can we bless others? I'm not talking about putting money in the brown box back there, right? We don't talk a lot about giving here because we trust that God will move in the hearts of his people to fund the needs of this congregation. So that's why we don't talk a lot about that. We trust God. I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about out there. Think about how you're blessed and how you might leverage that blessing to bless others for the explicit purpose of seeing God call them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So there you go. Take God seriously. Serve the Lord. Make prayer a daily part of our life. Believe God's word. Give God praise for every victory. Obey God. Fix your heart on God. And leverage your blessings for the good of others. Individually, the challenge to me, a challenge to you, it's a challenge to our church. If we seek to do that, I think there's no limit in what God can use us for in this community and beyond, in your homes, in your neighborhood, at your work, whatever it might be. God can use us. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you can make something good out of the mess that I've made. Lord, would you work in us? That we would seek to follow you. That we would seek to praise your name. That we would walk in our vocation to be people who were called out of darkness to call others to the same light. I thank you. And I give you praise, for I know what you will do. Because you are a faithful God. And you will fulfill all your promises to us. So, Lord, we want to be used by you to carry those promises to others. We ask you to work this in us by your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.